Blog Talk Radio.
By Brenda, who they were just sitting around the house and just pure worship, raw. No clothes, church clothes on, no performing for somebody, just pure worship, raw. It felt like singing. A bunch of them just got together in their blue jeans. And I just like that realness there. And I was scanning the internet. And I saw that. And the way they were singing, like, they really knew it's nobody like you, Lord. And I know we all got a testimony. And we probably can attest to that. It's nobody like you, Lord. When you think about how forgiving he is, you think about when nobody else was there, but he was there. It's nobody else like you, Lord. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, declaring nobody like you, Lord. Nobody. Mama not like you, Lord. Daddy not like you. Pastor not like you. Sister not like you. Nobody. But that was just real touching to me. When you think about how good God being, there's nobody like you. Hey, brother and sister, we're truly happy to have each and every one of you all. And like I said, I just want to put that out there. There's nobody like you, Lord. And I want the world to know that. We're going to ask Pastor Bill, who did such a fabulous job on yesterday in my absence. And I thank God for it, to give us a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Pastor Bill to give us a word of prayer.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Beautiful selection. Nobody like you, Lord. Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
I'm glad about that.
Yes.
Nobody like you, Lord.
Nobody.
Amen.
Nobody,
and the scripture
Lord.
I like to
Nobody.
Share. Praise God. That's it. Amen. The scripture I like to share is coming from Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We're thanking you for this day, Father God. We're thanking you for our listeners and those that participate. We're thanking you, Father God, for your word, Father God. Nobody like you, Lord. That means we can trust you. We can put faith in you because we know that you hear and you answer prayer. Father God, we ask that you will just plead the blood of Jesus over this broadcast, over our pastor, over the listeners, and those that participate, Father God. We just give you thanks today, for we just praise your holy name, for you're worthy to be praised. Lord, we just ask that you would touch all those that are sick and shut in. Touch those who've asked us to keep them in prayer. Be with those that are going through, Father God. All we have to do is trust in you and know, like the song says, nobody like you, Lord. And we can lean and depend on you because we know that's where our help and our strength come from. Now, Lord, open up our hearts and our mind to this word today, Father God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome to just take control. Continue to bless our pastor and be with him in all things. Be with the listeners and bless them that they will also have a testimony that they can also say, nobody like you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all things. In Christ Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. You know, it's brother and sister, when you look back and you think about how good God has been, and I mean, you have to sing that song, nobody like you, Lord.
And
it just don't have to do with nothing to do with finances, but there are times that folks wouldn't help you out, and God made a way for you. And that's a message in that. Nobody like you, Lord. You know, once you thought they would, didn't, and wouldn't. And you have to say, Lord, it's nobody like you, Lord. You have to really say that and mean that and experience that to understand what I'm talking about. But hey, brothers and sisters, we're talking about the working of the Holy Spirit in the church in 2021 and beyond. Hallelujah. We got to know that the working of the church is of the leading of the Holy Ghost. It hadn't changed, brothers and sisters. It won't change. Don't come to a shock to some people. God is not changing. He's still allowing the Holy Spirit to govern and direct the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Now, I know this is not going to be good for some of you all, but I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it again until you really go and study, do the research, God was on the scene. When God said, okay, I'm going to be off the scene, I'm going to send my son. My son's going to get many people saved if they want to be saved. Then after you get saved, he said, then the son is going to turn you over to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is going to bring you back. And you got to believe in him. You got to trust in him. You can't denounce him, because that's the only thing you can't be forgiven for in this world nor the world to come, is blaspheming against the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, say that.
You can't deny the Holy Ghost. You can't deny him in no way at all, no shape, form, or fashion. You can't denounce him, because he's in charge right now. Some of y'all don't want to hear that. But the Holy Ghost is in charge. Jesus put him in charge. He said, I'm going to send another comforter for you. It's going to be the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is going to always be present to give you guidance. That's what he does in our life. And to understand this, I wanted to break it down in a seed concept. So, but you know what? Now that I said that, let me go ahead on and read first, 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. Because I want you to know you're being guided now by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you got saved. You got delivered. All of that's good. But now, once you get saved, your next step is to be turned over to the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Not to a group of people who are going to determine your salvation. You got a bunch of people that say, well, you got to go through this class, you got to go in this group, and then this group is going to determine if you're ready to go to the next group. See, they put them in groups now. For those that don't know, they call them beginner's class. Pray for me. They call them beginner classes. And they put you in the beginner class, and you have to stay there until somebody say you can move on into the Lord. But that's not scripture, and it's not so, and it's not truth. The truth doesn't matter. Once you get saved, then you're to be, your spirit man is to be baptized by the Holy Ghost. And going forward, he's to guide and direct us, okay? I just want to make that real plain. And then we're going to get into what this seed concept is all about. But if you'll read 1 Corinthians 6.
Well, 19.
I guess, bless God. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Come on, don't you know that you are not your own anymore? Don't you know that? I'm just going to find this scripture and read it, because that's pretty much what it said. It says, okay, there it is. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have not have of God and not of your own. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. And from the Message Bible, God modeled love for becoming one with another. Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place? The place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? Amen.
You see, brothers and sisters, you should know. I mean, don't you know this? Don't you know when you committing sexual sins, you only affecting your own body?
Have mercy, Lord.
But the point, the emphasis should be put on the fact that this is stuff you ought to know. That your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, one scripture said it belongs to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's the spirit you received from God that got in your spirit now. And you belong to Him. You don't even belong to your own self any longer. You no longer belong to your own self. You have to be directed by the Holy Ghost. I just thought that was so awesome, man. Especially after we talked about the leading of the Holy Spirit on last week. This just should really give you more understanding, because Romans 8:14, remember we're being led by the Spirit. That's why we had to have a renewal of the Spirit. When you have this knowledge that what's in you is of the Holy Ghost, and let me go on and prove this stuff right now. Let me stop playing with you guys. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, we'll do 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. That was another scripture I was looking for. I think 1 Corinthians 15. But 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 says, "Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for the food, and multiply your seed sowing, and increase the fruit of your righteousness."
Amen, amen. And from the Message Bible, "The most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God." Amen.
This is spiritual, brothers and sisters, and you have to see it that way. You have to see that this is something spiritual. So he's talking about what God give you. It's spiritual seed. That's how you, that's what this is about, spiritual seed. So when I read, when I read this, I understand it as God's seed to the farmer and to the food to those who need to eat natural food. So it is in the spirit world. He will give you the seed to multiply, and just say, for a better way, the seed of righteousness that goes in your life. He will increase those things. See, he's using this as a parable to show us that there are seeds of righteousness. See, right, these seeds have to bear fruit or yield after its own kind. How do I know that? Let's go to Genesis, bless God. Hallelujah. Hey, y'all making me go there, Pastor. I was trying not to go there, but y'all going to make me go there.
That's all right.
I want to say in Genesis, I know it's in Genesis. I want to say it's in Genesis. Let me go look it up right quick. It won't take but a second. It's over there in Genesis. If you really want to see it, go to Genesis 1 and 12 first. We'll go to Genesis 1 and 12 first. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 15:38. But let's go to Genesis 1 and 20. "And the earth brought forth grass and herbs, yielding seed after his kind, and the trees yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after its kind. And God saw it was good. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. God spoke, earth, green up, grow all varieties of seed-breathing plants, every sort of fruit-bearing tree. And there it was. Earth produced green seed-bearing plants and all varieties, all fruit-bearing trees of all sorts. God saw that it was good. Amen.
Yeah. See, God knew this seed bearing was good. It was the way to operate. So you go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians with me, 15:38. Because y'all know how I like to say the New Testament. But then I go to the Old Testament and show you. This ain't nothing new. God, he put this in the earth that it shall be a seed process. So each seed has to bear of its own kind. As I was telling y'all yesterday, if you're not spiritual, you won't understand this because that's not the seed that's in you. It can't produce anything other than what's in you. Whatever's in you, that's what's going to be produced. But in 1 Corinthians 15:38, it says, but God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed of his own body. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You could never guess what a tomato looked like by looking at a tomato seed. We want plant in the soil, and what grows out of it don't look anything alike. The dead body that we bury in the ground and the resurrection body that comes from it will be dramatically different. Amen.
Amen. So he's giving us this. As to say, God gives the plant from he wants it to have. In other words, each kind of seed grow into its own form. So a spiritual seed will grow into spiritual things.
All right. Amen.
So once it starts growing into spiritual things, that's when it's going to start producing things in Galatians 5 and 22. Because that's the seed that's in it. See?
Yeah.
I was trying to understand, when you read this as though, you know what? That's right. What seed is in me? What seed do I have living in me? Because the seed should reflect what went in the ground.
All right.
Say even it, though it come it. Out different, it come out different, but you know what you put in the ground. See, a watermelon seed don't look like a watermelon.
Amen.
Can I preach this one then, huh? But we know that it's a watermelon seed. So what should come from that? Watermelon seed is seed.
Yeah.
When I think about Genesis 3:15, I want you to see this. This is spiritual. He's talking about a seed here. He's talking about a spiritual seed here. Now, you may see it in the flesh, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual seed here. Somebody help me. It says, in Genesis 3:15, and I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Gotta catch that. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Amen, amen. And from the Message Bible, I'm declaring war between the woman. I'm declaring the war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He'll wound your head. You'll wound his heel. Amen.
Now, I know many times we've seen this in the flesh, but please, take a moment and understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has said to that serpent, because you've done this, here's what I'm going to do. You're going to be cursed. And you're going to be living among the wild, talking about demonic animals and creeping things. And matter of fact, you're going to live on your belly. You know, before we were standing up, I won't get into all that. But he says, you know what, I'm going to make you lower. So he put him on his belly. Put him on his belly to prove how low God was making. And he became the Lord's animal. This is how you're going to live for the rest of your life. And he says, for your punishment, here's what I'm going to do. You got to remember who Satan was, see. He says, I will make you and the woman hostile toward each other. Now, actually, it's the church. Remember, the church is his bride. But you can't see that unless you're spiritual. He says, I'm going to cause hostility toward you and the woman and toward each other. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to make your descendants and her descendants hostile towards one another. They're going to be enemy against one another. And think they're going to be peace is not toward each other. He says, you know what? And here's what's going to happen. You will crush his head. And he's going to crush your heel. See, this stuff here is spiritual. Believe me.
Yeah.
So, when he says this, the woman is going to bruise his head, which happens to be the church.
All right.
But didn't see that he put in between that. They couldn't see it. Didn't know it. Because it was spiritual. It was a spiritual seed. And I really want to discuss it. And we will. But just not the rest of it today. I wanted to bring that out because you got to understand that there's a sowing and a reaping. And everything that's sowed, it's going to come out what was sowed, but not necessarily the way it was sowed. Or sowed in the ground or in the earth or in a person or what have you. But this is spiritual. My goodness, I want to explain this in a more profound way, if you would. But understand that when God, and somebody said God prophesied here, well, for those that don't know, God told him what it was going to be. He had to prophesy. That's something going. He's just letting you know it's going to happen. He already knew it was going to happen. Because as far as God was concerned, I already have things just had to play out. He already know what the script is. And when you know what the script is, you ain't prophesied. When you know what the script is. Is that right, Pastor?
That's right, Pastor.
When you know the script, you know, hey, this is going to do, the choir going to sing here, this going to do this, this is going to recite this, you know all this stuff. So you ain't prophesying because you say that. You know what the program is. So when you lay out the format, that don't mean you're prophesying. I hope somebody can see this. God already knew. So he told him, told Satan, I will put an enemy. See, right there tell you he wasn't prophesied because it's something he's going to do. See, I'm going to put an enemy between thee and the woman. You don't even know where it's going to be. But here's what God did. He put a seed. And her seed, which happens to be the church, is going to bruise your head, Satan. That's why we have the power. See, but it's spiritual. If you don't see it spiritual, you're missing. You will miss all of this here in Genesis 3. Don't want you to miss this. Now, remember, we're talking spiritual as well. That's what makes this so interesting. Because, see, in the natural, that's how people see this. But in the spiritual, it's different. In the spirit world, this is totally different than what you're looking at. But meanwhile, we'll get into it this week, hopefully. We'll really get started tomorrow into all of this.